On the man is now alive, who can remember what happened back in 1775, right? Okay.
Go on.
Right. Okay.
Thank you.
Go on, be like here.
Anyway, the shot that will start in firing that will be heard around the world is the study of Masechus Megillah. Okay. And, of course, the name immediately suggests to us, you know, we have five Megillahs in the Bible, you know, in the Tanakh. And we should be reading each and every one of them. I mean, in many shuls, and Kadima included, you know, we read Shir HaShirim on Pesach, we read Ruth on Shavuos, we read Kehelis on Sukkot time, and of course, all of us know that we read Eicha on Tisha B'av night, right? But still, when we talk about the Megillah, everybody knows that we're talking about Megillah Esther. Yeah. So obviously, this particular tractate is going to deal with the story of Purim, with various laws and Hagim and so on in connection with Purim, but it also goes into talking about, for example, the fact that the mitzvah of reading the Megillah in public also has a parallel in reading the Torah, because this is where we speak about the reading of the Torah that was instituted by Ezra, that, you know, what days to read the Torah, what times to read the Torah, and things like that, and that it's you know, a mitzvah for us to read the Torah in the synagogue on these days. And we also learn rules that pertain to the sanctity of a shul and the various things that we find, the various objects that we find in the shul, such as the ark, the Torah, and things like that, and so on. So we're going to learn some very interesting material as we continue the study of Megillah. Okay. The very first Mishnah already poses a problem. Why does it pose a problem? Because, as we're going to see in a moment when we study it, that it's not exactly in conformity with what Megillah Esther itself has to say. In Megillah Esther, we read that what happened, for example, if you remember, the decree that Haman obtained from King Ahasuerus said that the 13th day of Adar was to be the day of the massacre of the Jewish people. Men, women, children, all to be slaughtered on that particular day throughout the kingdom, all the various provinces of Ahasuerus, okay? And if you remember, messengers sent out, you know, copies of the edict and all this and so on. And finally, of course, thanks to the efforts of Mordechai and Esther and so on, so that we saw, you know, that eventually this was foiled. But still, what happened, according to the Megillah, on the 13th day of Adar? There were still plenty of anti-Semites who sought to carry it out, and they killed Jews. So the Jews had to fight on the 13th day in order to save their lives, okay? But they rested. In other words, the battle was over for them on what day? On the 14th of Adar, right? And in the case of the people in Shushan, the fighting continued for one extra day, so that for them, they fought not only on the 13th, but also on the 14th, and their day of rest was the 15th. So, therefore, the Megillah towards the end says, you know, that Kayomim Asher Nochu Vahem HaYehudim Eyoyeveihem, right? That is to be even as in accordance with the days upon which the Jewish people rested, found rest from their enemies. In other words, not the day of fighting, but the day in which they rested. All right. So that leaves us with how many days? The answer is either the 14th or the 15th. Now we're going to see in the first Mishnah that they suggest other possibilities as well. All right, so let's start with the first Mishnah. I just want to say aside, thank God We had a very lovely siyum on Maseches Rosh Hashanah, and I had hoped that we would start Megillah earlier, but the Rebbeinu Shalom had other plans for me. So thank God that we're able to be together again, and may the words of Torah, may the words of Torah be sweet unto us.
Give the extra energy.
Right. All right. So the first Mishnah begins by saying Megillah Nikreis, the Megillah is read. Biyud Aleph, Biyud Beis, Biyud Gimel, Biyud Dalet, B'tesvot. It could be the 11th day of Adar, it could be the 12th day of Adar, it could be the 13th day of Adar, it could be the 14th day of Adar, it could be the 15th day of Adar. Lo pachos v'lo yoser. Not less and not more. In other words, not earlier, in other words, than the 11th of Adar, right? And not later than the 15th of Adar. So, that being the case, the Mishnah now wants to define how this works out. So first he starts by saying, Krachin hamim kofen chomum yemosu shubin nun. If it is a major metropolis, which is the meaning of Krach today, but we have to specify, it's not like New York, it's not London, right, not Paris, but it's a major metropolis which is surrounded by a wall, has a wall around it, and this wall was already there in existence, Mimos Yoshua bin Nun, at the time of Joshua the son of Nun, in other words, the time when the Jewish people conquered Eretz Israel. So in that case, Korin B'tesvot, they read the Megillah on the 15th day of Adar, okay? For practical purposes today, if there were a Jewish community in Shushan, then of course they would observe Shushan Purim as the day for reading the Megillah, okay? I don't know how many Jews there are since Shushan was destroyed a few years ago, many, many years ago to be exact, okay? When the Arabs conquered Persia and took it over, and they destroyed, you know, what used to be the capital of the Persian Empire.
Who destroyed it?
The Arabs.
The Arabs.
Oh, yeah.
But this is also true for the walled city, people who live in the old city.
Right. Now, it's true for the walled city of Yerushalayim. That is absolutely correct. And in Yerushalayim itself, there is a rule that says that if it's within the city limits, in that they could see the Temple Mount and something like that, and in that particular case they observe it on the 15th. I do have to tell you that when they added new areas in Yerushalayim, there was a doubt at that time expressed by some of the leading poskim as to whether they should observe the 14th or the 15th. When my daughter and son-in-law, for example, lived in not Santeri of the Chevet, because that's close enough, but when they lived in Ramat Eshkol, Ramat Polin, excuse me, okay. Yeah, the Ramat Polin. At that particular time, when they first moved there, one of the Rabbanim, Ramat Polin, decided that it was outside the area of Yerushalayim to begin with, and since they couldn't see the Temple Mount from there, so that therefore they should observe the 14th, okay? On the other hand, all Yerushalayim is observing the 15th. So, the custom began that you would run from one part to the other, okay? You would hear the Megillah on the 14th, and then you'd hear it again on the 15th. You go to the other place, and then another part of the city, and hear it on the 15th, okay? Finally, they decided, hey, we're part of Yerushalayim after all. So, now, any place within the city limits of Yerushalayim observes Shushan Purim, okay? They observed the 15th, but as in their Purim.
But you
okay.
said that the wall had to be up at the time of the time of
Joshua, of right. So we assume that Yerushalayim had a wall around it.
Even though there was a city with a wall around it, let's say,
right.
Today, in modern times, it doesn't apply.
It doesn't necessarily apply, correct. Because it would have to be a city with an ancient walled in area. Okay, right, exactly. Okay. If you would tell me, for example, Rome, but Rome wasn't built until long after Yerushalayim became the Jewish capital, you see, so it wasn't in existence at that time.
China.
Maybe, but that's hard to say, right?
This is the Shushan, we understand, but this speaks of
Yeah, in Eretz Yisrael, but it could be another outside of Eretz Yisrael too.
But it has to
it
be
could be, but it had to be in existence at the time of the conquest by Yehoshua ben Nun. Okay, yeah. Yeah, right.
No.
This is why I said, you know, before, you know, like London, Paris, sure, I'm sure that you can find some walls. I know in Paris there used to be ancient walls, but yeah, but they're built much later. Right. Yeah. You know, they had a wall, an area, one time, you know, surrounding the island in the middle of the Seine, which was the origin of Paris. Yeah. Okay. So, the Mishnah then has the title, tells us then that first of all, Krachin, right? There they read on the 15th. The next phrase, Kiforim Vayoros, villages and large cities, Vayoros Gedolos. The word Ayoro over here is used in the sense of a large city. But still, to make it even clearer, if it's even a huge city, right? But it does not go back, you know, to the days of Yehoshua ben Nun. They had no wall in those days. Then in that particular case, Korin bo bayom, right? And so they, I skipped a line over there, right? Korin bo yudal, right? They read on the 14th. But here is where we have now the exception. Elashak forim magdinu leyom haknisa. However, villages, obviously, they're not surrounded by a wall, number one. And secondly, we're talking about small villages where you have essentially a farming population. Then probably they don't have a shul in which they meet. So in this particular case, they can come to hear the reading of the Megillah on the day of Knesa. Okay, the question is, what do we mean by that over there? What is a Yom HaKnisa? So the answer is that it became an old established custom that on Monday and Thursday the cities would have various establishments set aside. First of all, they would have a bezdin, they would have a court of law. Okay, on that day, so that if people in the country had quarrels with one another, then they could come and find a bezdin meeting in the town on either Monday or on Thursday. Secondly, as we know, Ezra HaSofer also ordained that on Monday and Thursday we should read from the Torah. So if they wanted to daven with the minyan here to read the Torah, this is it. But as we'll see also, there was another reason. Namely, these were also market days. These people would bring their wares to the town in order to sell them over there, and thus they would be able to supply food for the dwellers in the town. Now, I don't have to tell you the importance of supplying food on Thursday, because on Thursday people were doing their shopping for Shabbos, so they could prepare it, you see. Very important. And as far as Monday is concerned, well, obviously, you know, how many days can you go without fresh food? And in those days, I don't have to tell you, they didn't have refrigeration and things like that the way we have today. So they would come in also on Monday in order to sell their wares. Some of the colorful sights that I remember is seeing open-air markets when I was studying in France. But, you know, they would set up stalls, stands, very often with a tent or something like that underneath to cover them. And, you know, people would come and they would buy fish over here, fruit over here, meat over there, and so on and so forth. So, what I saw in France, I know something that existed in Eretz Yisrael as well. And as a matter of fact, you have it in what we call the shuk. You know, because there's no question that, you know, the shuk, whether it's Bachta Yehuda, or whether it's, let's say, Shuk HaBukharim, or Shuk in Meir Sha'arim, and so on, you know, that all these are market areas, you know, where people come in order to buy, particularly to prepare for Shabbos, but at other times as well. Okay. So therefore, the people coming in from the villages, they gave them special permission to come and to hear the reading of the Megillah on the day in which there would be a market day, day of Kohen Bezdin and so on, and that's when they would listen to the reading of the Megillah. They would read the Megillah for them. Alright, so now the Mishnah goes into more specifics about the dating. It says, Ketzad, how does it work out? It says, for example, Chol Niyos Yud Dalet B'Sheni. Alright, let's say that the 14th of Adar occurs on Monday. Then in that case, what's the din? Keforim Vayoros Gedolos. Then both the villages and also the large towns, Korim Bo Bayom, they read on that day, in other words, on the 14th, right? Umukofa is Chayma, and the cities which are walled, you know, that, as we define what we mean by a walled city, Lemocha, they read the following day, in other words, on the 15th. Alright, so now we have accounted for what? For the 14th and the 15th. Excuse me. Alright, now what happens if Chol Niyos B'Shlishi or B'Rivi? Let us say that the 14th falls either on a Tuesday or on a Wednesday. So we said in that particular case, Kiforim Akdimin the Yom HaKnisa, right? We said that the villages have to, have the reading of the Megillah earlier than that particular date. So obviously, let's figure it out. If, for example, the 14th is on Tuesday, right? All right. So, and that day, when are they going to read it? They would read it on Monday, right? So they would read it on the 13th, all right. What if, however, it occurs on Wednesday? Then in that case, that already accounts for what? For the 12th. For the 12th, okay? So now we have determined when it might be the 12th, when it might be the 13th for people who live in the villages, but always remember that the rest of the people, the whole world, otherwise, read on either the 14th or on the 15th. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, they do. All right. As we say, that the 14th is Wednesday, that means that Monday is the 12th. Okay. Huh? Well, we didn't get the 11th yet. We didn't get it yet. Okay. So far, we've established 12, 13, 14, 15. That's what we've established. Okay. Alright, so Kfar Michael New York Nisa, right? Vayoros Gedolos Korim Bo Bayom, and the big large towns still read on the 14th, and Mukovitz Choma, and the walled cities Lemocha on the following day. Alright, so that would be still the 14th and the 15th for that. Now, what if Chol Niyos B'Chamishi? What if, let's say, the 14th occurs on a Thursday? Well, there's no trouble then. Then what? Kforim Vayoros Gedolos Korim Bo Bayom, right? Then in that particular case, when do they have the reading of the Megillah? So they have the reading of the Megillah on that day, on that Thursday the 14th, right? Umukofes Chagol Lamochar, and the walled cities would read the following day on Friday, which was the 15th. Okay. Now, what if Chol Niyos Erev Shabbos? Let's say that Purim occurs on Friday. Okay, then in that particular case, Kforim Akdimim Yom Akdiso, then we learned that what? That the villages have to begin reading, you know, on the day, when the people come to town again. So that, in other words, that would be back again to on the 13th, right? Vayoros Gedolos B'Kovetz Choma, Korim Bo Bayom. Okay, and the large towns, those are the walls, etc., you know, they read, on their specified days. Okay. They read Bo Bayom, which means on Thursday. Now, what is the Chiddush over here? Here, the Chiddush is the fact that even Mukofas Choma.
What does Bayom
mean? Let me explain to you. Bo Bayom means that very same day. Okay. Now, what do I mean by the very same thing? All right, let's picture in our mind as follows, okay? So far we've worked it out, you know, that we know that if it's a Monday or a Thursday, then in that particular case, the villagers and the townspeople, they all read it exactly on the same day, right? And those who live in walled cities, they do so on the following day, which would be in this particular case. If it were Monday, let's say, in that case they would read it Tuesday. If it is Thursday, then we said they read it on Friday, okay? But now let's picture the following, okay? The 14th occurs on Friday, okay? Now, it's exactly, the people who are Mekofas Chomer, right? The people who live in walled cities, are they allowed to read it on the 15th, which would be Shabbos? The answer is no. They're not allowed to. Why aren't they allowed to? Well, this we learned to the Gemara and Rosh Hashanah, that there are certain things, right, not to, in order not to, to carry in public a shofar, a lulav, or a megillah, right? Those three things we learned, okay? And therefore, you know, we have other arrangements, okay? And in this particular case, then, since we say that the people who live, you know, in a walled city on Shabbos are not allowed to read the Megillah on that day, so when can they read the Megillah? So the answer is that they read it on the Thursday, the same day that the people in villages and towns are reading the Megillah. So they're all, that's why it says it's only Bo Bayom. That's the only one that's mentioned over there. All right. So we still haven't figured out when is it going to be on the 11th. That we didn't figure out yet. Jerry, you have a question?
I'm just maybe I'm just a question in terms of procedure.
Right.
There doesn't seem to be any controversy. I mean, nobody
at this particular point.
Yeah. Okay. This is the
controversy will come in the Gemara. Yeah.
That's right.
Okay. When they started to analyze it, that's when they had the arguments. Right. Okay.
I mean, we don't have dissenting opinions.
At this moment, there's no dissenting opinions. Right. Right. Okay. All right. So far we still didn't determine when are they going to read it on the 11th, right? Okay. So now, it says, Cholios b'Shabbos. All right. Let's say that the 14th of Adar occurs on Shabbos. Of course, I have to tell you, for us it wouldn't work because our calendar is fixed, so it should never occur that way, okay? But remember in those days, as we learned in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, you know, as long as there was a Sanhedrin that was functioning in Eretz Yisrael, so they would always proclaim what was Rosh Chodesh, and it was Al-Pira'iyah, it was according to as they observed it. And in that case, it's possible to occur any day in the week that they determine this is it, right? So that whatever the first of the month of Adar is, according to their calculation, right, then in that particular case, it's going to affect whatever. So there is a possibility then that the 14th day of Adar would occur on Shabbos. Okay, in that particular case, what is the situation? Okay, Cholios b'Shabbos. What's that a bit of? Cholios b'Shabbos. Right. Then in that particular case, Kvar Vayores Gedolos Makdimin, the Kolon Yamakdisa. So in that particular case, what is the Megillah going to be read by either the villagers or people live in great towns? The answer is not on Friday, but they're going to read it on Thursday instead. Okay? In other words, that day is actually going to be the 12th. It's going to be the 12th. It's going to be the 12th. Right. Okay? Now, finally, Mekofas Chomer L'Mocher, but those who live in the walled cities, they can do it on the following day, which is on a Sunday. Nothing wrong with that, okay? Which is the 15th. Now, Cholios Achar HaShabbos. Let's say that Purim occurs on Sunday. Achar HaShabbos means the day after Shabbos, right? On Sunday. Then, in that particular case, Kfar Makdinil Yom HaKnisa. Now, if it's Sunday is the 14th, right? So that makes Shabbos the 13th, right? Friday the 12th. So what does it make Thursday? The 11th, hooray, we finally found when it could be on the 11th, right. So we read then that particular case, Kfarim Akdim Yachni. So they read in that particular case on, the previous Thursday, which would be the 11th of Adar. And on the other hand, Ayoz Gedolos Karim Bo Bayom. And, in the big towns, they can read the Megillah on the correct day, namely the 14th, which is on Sunday. Nothing wrong with that. Very often we have, Purim on Sunday. Nothing wrong with that. And Mukafas Choma, the walled cities, they read when? The Machar, the following day, on the 15th. Okay, so now we figured out how all these particular dates are possible.
Well, let me ask you.
Yes.
If they can go backwards, why don't they go forwards then?
Okay, you're asking a very good question, but as we're going to see, the dates are limited to the ones that we mentioned. Why? Because we have a pasuk, it's written over there where it says, "Lo yavor," literally, and it shall not go beyond this. Okay, so that therefore we cannot postpone anything beyond what we already mentioned.
Well, the day specified is the 14th, right?
The 14th is specified everywhere except for Mukofas Chama.
Right.
Okay, except for walled cities. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's the day after.
Yeah, that's on the 15th, correct. Except, when we read that the Quran Shabbos, then you'd have to have it on the previous Thursday.
So you're saying that we can't go beyond the 15th?
No. Yeah, correct. It cannot go beyond the 15th, right. Okay.
Because of that possible.
Right. Because of Lo Yavor, don't go beyond it. Of course, Lo Yavor really in its origin probably meant simply don't transgress it or something like that. This is it, don't transgress it, okay? But, when it comes to a drash, you make a drash. Our sages knew how to make the right drash. Okay, Gemara. Megillah Nikreis B'yud Aleph. All right, the Megillah can be read on the 11th, as we figured, towards the end of it. So they say, Menamon. Now, how do you know that, he says? Literally, from where do we get this? How do we derive this? Menamon? What do you mean? You want to know why? Because we're going to be learning a little bit further as we go along, that what? That Chachomim Heikilu Al HaKforim Liyos Mankim Limaknisa. The reason why they gave permission to the villages is because what? Kidei sheyisapke mayim emosn lechem shepakrakim. So that the villagers should be able to supply water, food for their brethren in the cities. Okay? So in other words, who gave permission? It was the chachomim, heikilo. It was the sages who decided to make life easier for the people in the village, right? So that they wouldn't have to try to get, to town on a day other than when they have to come to the market, and at the same time to benefit the townspeople by virtue of the fact that on these days the people can come in from the village and, sell them the food that they need, okay? And it was the Chacham. Okay. Now, that being the case, Anan Horikan Minun, so therefore he says, we say as follows, right? Nichtei. So now they ask the question. Say, look, kuhu anshei kineses hagdol taknit, right? We say that all the regulations concerning the celebration of Purim, right? This was ordained by whom? It was by the members of the anshei kineses hagdol, right? Members of the Great Assembly. Now, who were the members of the Great Assembly? The answer is that these were 120 great chachomim, including the last prophets, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, right? And also including among them Mordechai, who is mentioned also. And, we find, some of these people who are mentioned, for example, in the Ezra and Nehemiah and so on, it's being leaders of the Jewish people, okay? And the rest is by tradition. But we say that they are the ones who reorganized Jewish life And they were the ones, as we learned, for example, who ordained, you know, that you should recite Shmona Esra. They formulated the Nusach of it. They made a decision concerning that Musaf has to be recited in order to replace, or at least, you know, to, shall we say, in prayer, to occur at the same time that the sacrifices were being offered in the Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos and Yom Tov and things like that and so on. So that the Anshei Knesset HaGadolah were responsible for the reorganization of Jewish life in Eretz Israel when they returned from the Babylonian exile. Okay? And bear in mind, do we have a reference in the Torah itself, in the Torah, and I'm saying not the Tanakh, but in the Torah, to Purim? The answer is no. Although we'll see afterwards that certain drashen tried to make a connection, but nevertheless, the whole thing, all the laws are contained where? They're all based upon Megillas Esther. Megillas Esther dates back to whom? To the time of Anshei Knesset HaGadolah. That's the answer. So, now we say the following. The E Salkadate Anshei Knesset HaGadolah Yud Dalavites Vav Tikkun. Right. If we assume that it was the Anshei Knesset HaGadolah who made the regulation that the Megillah is to be read on the 14th and the 15th, even as it is said specifically where? In the Megillah Esther, right? So are we going to say now that also Rabbonon the Akri Takato the Takino Anshei Knesset HaGadolah? Are we to come now and say that the rabbis who subsequently came, they came and literally they uprooted a decree which, or an enactment, they uprooted an enactment which was enacted by the members of the Anshei Knesset HaGadolah. Anshei Knesset HaGadolah said, read the Megillah when? On the 14th and the 15th. And here we have later Chachamim come along and they say, what? You can read it on the 11th, on the 12th, on the 13th, right? The Hot Nan. Haven't we learned? And this we find in various places, Gittin, Adios, and so on and so forth, the Zohar, that ein bezdin yochel levatel divrei bezdin chadero elim kein godol mimenim uchachum minyo, that a bezdin cannot annul literally the words or the enactments, if you wish, right, of another bezdin unless it is considered greater than the original bezdin that, you know, or that created the enactment, both in wisdom and also in numbers. A chokhmah and minyan.
They can't override it.
They cannot override it. And since we assume that the Anshei Knesset HaGadolah, they were the great assembly, right? So how could later rabbis come and change it?
No.
This is the question. So El Pshita, so the Gemara has to come to the conclusion and say, well, it has to be obvious that what? That Kuhu Anshei Knesset HaGadolah Takido. Okay? That the Anshei Knesset HaGadolah were the ones who made all the enactments, not only about the 14th and the 15th as stated in the Megillah, but they made also other enactments orally, not stated in the Megillah, but nevertheless, they were the ones who enacted it, so that therefore it stems from them and not from some later court coming to try to overthrow them. I mentioned many years ago in connection with the statement about Ein Bezdin Godol Yafol, you know, Levato Divrei Yechavero and so on, Bezdin Yechavero. Several years ago, I received a communication from the Rabbinical Assembly, you know, that's the organization of conservative rabbis. Still on the mailing list, you know.
Yeah.
So every once in a while, I guess, the latest decrees or something like that. And in this particular case, they say, look, we have more wisdom than they had. How do we have more wisdom? Well, we've gone to universities, we've studied, so we know more than they know, okay?
Yeah.
And Minyan, he says, well, look, we have a membership of 1,000 rabbis, let's say. So we have the Minyan.
Yeah.
So therefore, we have the authority to make whatever changes we want in the decrees and enactments that were made before us. Yes.
This is the issue right now, that when they allowed women to be rabbis, they never allowed women to be an Ada.
Right.
To be a witness.
Witness, correct, yeah.
And now, do they have the authority with Hakim to overturn?
Well, they claim that they have. That's the other.
Well, that's still.
Yeah, right. They claim that they have, exactly.
They're going to vote on it. There are many.
Yeah, I don't know whether it was put up to a vote or not. But I know that the prevailing sentiment is, you know, that just as they give women aliyahs, and they have women rabbis from the campus and so on, so why shouldn't the testimony of a woman also be accepted? Of course, I have to tell you that from one point of view, there are cases where the testimony of a woman is accepted in traditional halacha. To testify, for example, that a person died so that, you know, that the widow could be freed. Right, in that case, or even in general, Yisav HaHeter, testimony of a woman who says, you know, that she saw, for example, a fleshy couple put into a milchut temple or something like that, you know, or vice versa and so on. This is accepted. We accept the testimony. So that there are areas, you know, where even from the point of view of the strict halacha, the testimony is accepted. But, you know, what they have in mind is, for example, you know, to sign a ksuba or something like that,
yeah,
you know, or a
get
or something like that. Yeah.
It seems like it's even for them, it's a big deal.
Right, right. No question about that, yeah. So, you know, it's from our point of view, and those of us who adhere to tradition, I mean, they're only going in the footsteps of the Reform. Reform said, we don't believe in halacha, period. So they did whatever they wanted
to.
The same thing in the Reconstructionist movement. I mean, halacha takes a back seat. Although, I would say, I mean, I knew Mordechai Kaplan personally, you see, and I don't think that he was as radical as his followers are. But I'll close just with one word from Pirkei Avos, okay, and we'll call it a night. It's written in Pirkei Avos, it says, you know, Ma Bein Talmidei Shel Bilam Barosha, as compared to Talmidei Shel Avraham Avinu. Okay, you know, the your Mishnah gives, you know, different things that you can recognize: humility, you know, this, for example, you know, is a sign that, you know, you are Talmidei Avraham Avinu, right? As compared to, you know, Gavo or something that you belong to Bilam HaRasha. So the vort is, why does it say, you know, Ma Bein Talmidei Shel Bilam HaRasha as compared to Mishnah Abraham Avinu, right? And why doesn't it say simply, you know, what is the difference between Bilam and Avraham? Why does it say Talmidim? You understand?
Right.
So the answer is because in many cases the original ones were not as far apart in their thinking as the Talmidim come along and they go further and further and further. So we certainly see it exemplified today.
Mm.
Okay, so we shall call it a night tonight. All right, tonight is April 25th in the year 2001, and we are gathered here to continue the study of Megillah on the first Daf Beis, that is, Amud Aleph, from where we left off last week. However, since some people were not here last week, I do want to make a few moments of a summary of what the discussion is about, and then we continue. Okay. I mentioned last week that, of course, Maseches Megillah, when we speak about Megillah, we know that we're talking specifically about the Megillah that we read on Purim, Megillah's Esther. So, obviously, the bulk of the teachings that we find in this tractate are going to be centered about that. But I also mentioned that there are other things also that we're going to find, as, for example, laws pertaining to the Kriyas HaTorah, laws pertaining to the sanctity of synagogues, and the various pertinences that we find within the synagogue, such as the Ark and the Shulchan and so on and so forth. Okay? And we'll be discussing later on about the rights of a community, for example, to sell a shul or something like that, which, of course, in America is a big problem because of the fact that neighborhoods change When I came to Springfield, we had four functioning synagogues up in the North End, and of course nothing remains of them right now. And I don't have to tell you that for the most part, you know what they were converted to, okay? So we'll deal with that as we get on to the last chapter of Maseches Megillah. However, the Mishnah, which starts over here, speaks about the fact that the Megillah might be read under certain circumstances, either on the 11th, or the 12th, or the 13th, or the 14th, or the 15th of Adar. Not earlier, and not later. But under what circumstances? If we take a look in the text of the Megillah, what do we find? There are only 2 days mentioned over there. What are they? Arba Asar v'Chamish Asar. In other words, the 14th and the 15th. So that we know that on those 2 days, definitely the Megillah should be read. And of course, in the Megillah also we find that they make a distinction, and Nirtz Hashem will come to it tonight, about the difference between what we call an unwalled place, prozim, which could apply to any city which was not walled. And the question that we'll discuss afterwards is walled at what particular time in history, as compared to a walled city. What is this based on? It's based upon, you know, the fact that in Shushan, the fighting went on for 2 days, and as a result, the Jews in Shushan did not have an opportunity to rest and to celebrate until the 15th. Of course, the fighting, if you remember, was scheduled for the 13th of Adar, right? And on the 13th of Adar, Jews had to defend themselves against attacks by the anti-Semites, who wanted to destroy them, even in accordance with the original edict of King Ahasuerus. Okay? So, outside of the city of Shushan, they had the battle for 1 day, namely on the 13th, and so therefore they were able to rest and celebrate on the 14th. Whereas, the Jews in Shushan had 2 days of fighting, so that they didn't rest until the 15th. So, and as much as the Megillah says that, you know, we should make these days of Mishta, Yom Tov, in other words, feasting, drinking, a holiday, and so on and so forth, and Mishloach Monos, you know, sending gifts on and taking care of the poor, you know, these are all things that we are going to discover are part of the observance of Purim, as we know from our own personal experience, okay? So the question is, at this particular point, so where, how come, under what circumstances do we say that it might be on the 13th, or the 12th, or the 11th? So the answer is contained in the first Mishnah, where they go into a great explanation. And they point out that, first of all, the reason for these various dates is based upon the fact that we have farmers who would come into the city for what is called Yom HaKnisa, which means the day literally of assembly. In other words, when the courts would meet, when markets would be held. So under those circumstances, they would come in to the city at that time in order to sell their food, to sell their water, because, you know, in ancient days where it was difficult to get water, so people would, they would bring in water in buckets and sell the water. Of course, today, I mean, we have also Evian, and all you have to do is to go into the supermarket and we find, again, water being sold to us. Times they take tests and they decide that in reality it's not worth it, that the water that you get out of your tap is probably just as good as the other one. But that's besides the point. However, we know that, for example, in Eastern Europe, and to say nothing of the Orient, you had what used to be called Avasaträger. Did you ever hear the expression Avasaträger? A person who would go, he would have like a yoke around and he'd have two buckets of water and he would sell the water, you see. So this is the way they used to go. And many shtetlach in Europe, okay? So the farmers then would come in to the larger towns in order to do market business and to carry on other transactions. And in order to make it easier for them, so therefore they ordained that if it happens to be a day other than a market day, when Purim occurs, so they could hear the reading of the Megillah prior to that day. And the Mishnah then went in, and we went over it piece by piece at that time. I don't want to repeat the entire Mishnah again, but we saw that, for example, if, let's say, the 14th of Adar was on Thursday, right? So on that day, the people from the villages would come in anyway in order to, you know, to sell their produce for Shabbos and so on and so forth. They would be there, so they're able to read at the same time together with the people in the villages, right? But what if, let's say, the 14th of Adar were, let's say, on another day in the week? Let's say that it was on, let's say, a Wednesday. And then in that particular case, they would have to read it, that is, the people who would come in from the villages would read it 2 days earlier, on Monday, right? So in that case, it means then that they would be reading it on the 12th day, okay? What if, for example, Purim were on Sunday? So in that particular case, I'm talking about the 14th of Adar, then in that particular case, it would not be on Shabbos, which would be the 13th. It wouldn't be on Friday, which would be the 12th. But when would be the Yom HaKnisa? It would be on Thursday, which would be the 11th. So this is how we have this variation. Okay? Now, the Gemara then began by discussing the fact, how do we know, is there any reference in the Megillah itself that makes, you know, that gives permission to read the second year, 2001. We are continuing with Maseches Megillah, Tractate Megillah, and we're almost finished with Daf Beis Omet Aleph. All right. In other words, that'd be the first page. However, again, I want to make a very short summary of what the argument is, and then we'll see what's happening. Okay. Of course, I remember we did more than what I have on the tape over here. Okay, I'm sorry that I'm very hoarse tonight. Okay, I shall try to project. Okay. Is that a little better? Okay, I'll try to project. We have learned so far that there have been different days set aside for the reading of the Megillah. That in the Megillah itself, only 2 days are mentioned. Because the Jews were told to celebrate in every year, the Chol Shana V'Shana, the days that the people of Israel, you know, had rest from the persecutions of the day that they were supposed to be murdered. Okay. Since the since the fighting was everywhere on the 13th of Adar, so therefore the 14th of Adar was observed by Jews everywhere, with the exception of Shushan, where the fighting continued an additional day on the 14th, and so they rested on the 15th, and so therefore, for them, the day of rest is the 15th, right? And then we learn that several things. Number one, that the average city always observes it on the 14th of Adar. Of course, that's our practice for this very day, okay? However, the Mishnah says that a city which was surrounded by a wall in the days of Yehoshua ben Nun, the days of Joshua, so there they read it on, actually it doesn't say that, the Gemara brings it out, but all it says, the Mukofetz Choyma, in other words, cities which are surrounded by a wall, they read it on the 15th. So that's how the matter stands at this moment in the Mishnah. The Gemara is going to bring out the fact that there's an argument as to which cities are considered Mukofetz Choma, okay, surrounded by a wall. But the Mishnah started in by saying that there are other possibilities for reading the Megillah. Might be read on the 11th of Adar, might be read on the 12th of Adar, and it might be read on the 13th of Adar. We figured out from the Mishnah exactly how that works out, okay? So I'm not going to review that once more, but anybody is welcome to listen to the tape. Okay. However, then at the bottom of the page, if you remember, there are differences of opinion. First of all, how did they derive the fact that it is possible to have days other than the days that the Megillah itself says are the days for reading the Megillah? In other words, how did they come to the conclusion that it's even permissible to read it on the 11th or the 12th or the 13th? Okay? And when would it be read on the 11th, 12th, and 13th? So we learned that this is a special provision which was made for people who live in villages. All week long, they stayed home tending their farms, tending, you know, whatever they had to do. But on Mondays and Thursdays, Sheni v'Chamishi, these were days where they would come and they would provide food and sell it in the marketplace for their brethren in the cities, okay? And we also learned that on those days, for example, the Beis Din would meet in the cities, so that if people in villages had arguments with one another, which they wanted to settle before a Beis Din, so they would have to come in either on Tuesday or on Thursday, days upon which the Beis Din met, and therefore, inasmuch as they're coming into town for both of these reasons, on Monday or Thursday, so therefore the Chachamim gave special permission that if they lived in the villages and it wasn't easy to get hold of somebody with a Megillah who would read it for them, so they could come into town on those days and hear the Megillah read for them. This is what we learned, okay? But then it descended into an argument further on in the page as to two different opinions as to how come the Chachamim were able to make such a decision. Well, first of all, they came to a general conclusion that everybody agreed with, or practically everybody agreed with, okay? Namely, what? That we have a principle that says that a Beis Din is not allowed to cancel out a decision of a previous Beis Din unless it is greater than it in Chochmah and Minyan, literally in wisdom and in numbers. Okay? So, they asked the following question. The last Nevi'im, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi, those are the last three books that we find in the prophetic section of the Bible, and they lived at the time of the restoration of the Jewish people to Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so they were also members of the Anshei Knesset Hagdolah. They were among the members of the Knesset Hagdolah, which, together with others, as for example, as I mentioned, Mordechai, who goes sometimes under the name of Bilshon, they were the ones who legislated the practice on behalf of the people of Israel. Now, were the members of the Anshei Knesset Hagdolah the ones who gave permission to the people in the villages to read the Megillah on the 11th, 12th, and 13th? This is what the question is. And they argue and they say no, because on this principle that we said, we have to say that the later Chachamim, the later sages, cannot come along and cancel a decree which was proposed, you know, by the earlier Beis Din, namely the Anshei Knesset Hagdolah, who said that the reading of the Megillah should only be on when? On the 14th or the 15th. So that therefore they come to the conclusion that we have to assume that the Chachamim were only carrying out something which was already implicit in the teachings of the Anshei Knesset Hagdolah. So the question is, so where do we find a reference in the Megillah to something like that? And we saw that there were two differences of opinion as to where the authority is that the Megillah could be read on days other than the 14th or the 15th. One opinion was that it's based upon the argument that we find Zmanehem, their times, okay? Now, if it says Banehem, then it has to imply, according to the authority who says this, that there are more than one Zaman. Because otherwise it would have said Zman, or it would have said Zmanim, but if it says Banehem. If it said only Zman, then we would say there's one time for reading the Megillah and that's it, right? Zmanim would imply, okay, 14th and 15th. But why does it not say Zmanim and why doesn't it say Zman? It says Manehem, which implies many. So therefore, his opinion says, you see, this is the authority that shows that the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah already recognized that there were different times in addition when the Megillah might be read. Okay? Another one argues, he says the same thing, but he comes to a different, but he uses a different text in the Megillah. And the text was, Kayovim asher nochu bohem ha-Yehudim, according to the days upon which the Jews rested, right? And he says, according to that, there we find that a reference to the fact that it was possible to read the Megillah on days other than just the 14th and the 15th. So this is where the argument was. Okay. Now, we'll go down a little bit. Okay. Yes. And then we also learn towards the bottom of the page, why can't we say that, why does it have to be just 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, right? Why can't it be 16th, 17th? You argue that the word Yamim implies 2 days, so in other words, the Megillah gave two additional days to read the text of the Megillah implies that there are two additional days, so that therefore why can't we say that the 2 days are the 16th and the 17th of Adar? So the answer is because we have another pasuk in the Megillah which says Belo Ya'avor and not beyond. Literally, it should not pass, it shouldn't go beyond those days. So that therefore the restriction is not more than, not later than the 15th. Okay. So God's fine. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we would understand that, but the feeling is, you know, like, make additional days before, why can't you make additional days after, you understand? But because it says, below Yavor, so that rules out that possibility. But the possibility of having it before, this was derived, simply said, you know, from other reasoning based upon the text, particularly the one that's Zman, Zmanim, and Zmanehem. Okay. All right. Then we came at the bottom of the page. Okay, that according to Rabbi Yochanan, this was the opinion, Zun Divrei Rabbi Akiva Stimoya, that it was an opinion of Rabbi Akiva, but they didn't mention him by name. Okay, the Dorish Zman Zmanim Zmanayim. He was the one who gave this particular drash. Well, Chachomim Oimrim, but Chachomim saying, Ein Kohen Osel Bizmano, you only are permitted to read the Megillah in its proper time. So, Meisvei, so there's a kasha. So Omer Rav Yehuda comes along with an opinion, as we'll see. There's going to be another opinion later on expressed by Rabbi Yehuda. But anyway, this opinion says over here, Amosai, when do we say that the Chachomim gave permission? I'll tell you where I am right now, okay? I'm about 7-8 lines from the bottom at the end, okay? It says, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, a Mosai. When do we say that the Chachamim gave permission to the people in the villages to read possibly on the 11th or the 12th or the 13th, if that was the Yom HaKnisa, right? If that was the day upon which they came into the village, into the big town. So it says, Bizman Shashonim Kesiknon, right? This is when years were going fine. The Yisrael Shmingon Moson, and the people of Israel were actually masters in their own land. In those days, it was possible, you know, for the Chachamim to make all kinds of arrangements. Of course, the people of Israel were not in any danger, whatever, and it could be done. But what do we have to understand? What we have to understand is that when the people of Israel are not masters in their own land, and there is no peace, then in that case, that special permission is null and void. Okay? So that we wind up again that when can we read the Megillah? The answer is either the 14th or the 15th. Okay. So they say, Miha Karinan, but still we read. So he says, Tiyufta the Rabbi Yehuda Tiyufta. Okay, Rabbi Yochanan Yehuda. Yeah, this is Hakakasha Rabbi Yochanan. So Omar Rab, I'm now on the end of the fifth line from the bottom. Okay? Iko de Amri. There's another version. Aleph Dala means Iko de Amri, which means that others say. There are some others who say. And don't forget again, as I stressed again and again, this being an oral tradition. We have more copies. Yeah. This being an oral tradition, so therefore we have, you know, different statements attributed to different people. So here is a statement made, Omer Rabbi Bar Chana, right? Omer Rabbi Yochanan, who said the name Rabbi Yochanan, so the Rabbi Akiva's Nimo, he says that this, okay, it's practically the same as what we had a couple of lines up above. And he says, these are the words of Rabbi Akiva, which were said without attributing it to Rabbi Akiva. Avol Chachomim Omru, but the sages said, Bazman Hazeh, at this time, Oel Mistaklin Bo, Ein Korin Oso El Bazmano. Inasmuch as people are dependent upon knowing what is the date of Purim, and from it they learn then what is going to be the date of Pesach, because we have a tradition which says that Pesach is always 30 days after Purim, right? And people did not have, let's say, all the means of communication that we possess today. It took time for word to get outside of Eretz Yisrael to other communities and so on, as we already learned from Maseches Rosh Hashanah, you know. So that being the case, once people knew when Rosh Chodesh Adar was, they could figure out when Purim was, and immediately they would know that after that, 30 days count from Purim, right? And that's Pesach. But what would happen if things were not good in Eretz Yisrael, right? And people who lived in the villages were not that great Talmidei Chachomim, that they knew what was going on. So they might come to the conclusion that the day that they read the Megillah, which was not the 14th of Adar, right? Well, let's say it was the 12th of Adar, okay? So if they would count 30 days after that and begin to observe Pesach, all right, it's no great sin, you know, from the point of view that eating matzah, so they can eat matzah a little bit before, although of course we have a halacha which says you should not eat matzah ere Pesach, okay? So that the taste of matzah should be fresh in your mouth. But they're liable to do what? All right, so they'll rest, let's say. They won't do any work. They're liable to make a kiddush or something, and it's not Pesach yet, right? But what's even worse is what happens at the end of the Yontif. Well, they will be, they figure that Yontif is already over, they'll go back to eating chometz, and yet it's still Pesach. So I don't have to tell you that this is something that, you know, that it's been a raiso, you know. This is a law which is a prohibition from the Torah itself not to do so, you see. So for that reason, he says, that's the reason why that Bazman Hazeh, at our time, this day, that we do not read the Megillah except when? The 14th and the 15th. Okay. From this Takman. Okay. Ein Korin Oso Ela Bazman. And then in the second line from the bottom, Tanya Nami Hochi, we have also a similar statement made Omer Rabbi Yehuda, who made by Rabbi Yehuda, he says, a Mosai, when is this true? He says, Mizban Shasham Mikitzikno, Mishashanat Mosan. As we said, you know, when things are going fine for the people of Israel and they're living peacefully and their masters in their own land, Avol Mizban Azer, but today, since people do have to reckon when Pesach will be based upon when Purim is observed, Ein Koronos El Bizbanah. Okay. Now, the very last line says, Rav Ashi, Kashi Leid Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda. He says, you know, I have a problem because here we have a statement made by Rabbi Yehuda which says what? Bazman Hazer, we read it only on the 14th and the 15th because why? Because the people of Israel are not masters in their own land, right? But there's another statement that they're going to quote afterwards in which Rabbi Yehuda points out, you know, the difference between cities which are cities and cities which are walled cities, because we didn't really, the Mishnah mentioned it, but we didn't go into the discussion yet about it. Okay, so that being the case, yeah, well, we're ready for the second page to go out, not this. Okay.
But yeah. On Passover,
yeah.
If someone is Tomei, he could observe it a month later.
That is correct. But that's because the Torah gave special permission for Pesach Sheni, which incidentally will be next Monday. Some people celebrate Pesach Sheni by eating matzah on that day. I don't know if you're aware of it, okay? But that's only a custom. That's all. So, yeah. We skip past it that day anyway.
Yes,
we need some. We'll have to make the money on Shabbos. Okay.
Do you have an essay?
Huh? Yeah, I have them over here. What happened to page number two? Hello? They're underneath.
These are the old ones.
These are the old ones. So where are the new ones?
That's what we said.
I think you got another book.
My apologies. I'm telling you.
I'm
having all kinds of problems.
Do you have any of the old ones?
Yeah. Okay. It's all right.
Word.
Anybody wants to keep an old one, they're welcome to it too, you know. Give you a chance to review the Gemara.
This is old.
Yeah.
Okay.
Here, I have a lot of them here. Yeah.
Yes.
You need some more?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear. I can't hear you. Can Purim occur on Shabbos? The answer is that in olden days, yes, it could have, because it depended upon when the Beis Din saw the moon and declared on his Rosh Chodesh. Understand? But Zman Hazeh, Purim will never occur on Shabbos, but Shushan Purim does occur on Shabbos. So that this is a practical problem for Yerushalayim. What do they do in Yerushalayim? The answer is that they celebrate actually 3 days in a row. Friday, Shabbos, and Sunday. Why? Friday they have to read the Megillah, since we do not read the Megillah on Shabbos. Okay? The next day, it's Purim for them. So, Purim and the Shabbos. So they don't read Zohar, they read it the previous week, but instead they read Vayovo Yabolek, which is what we read for a morning, you know, during the week. And that is the Maftir. And then, of course, you know, they have the Maftir for Shabbos Parsha Zohar to them, okay? So, and then, what is Sunday? The answer is Sunday. You have your feasting, and you give Matonis Lev Yoinim, you give charity, and so on and so forth. You celebrate, you know. So this is what they have to do in Yerushalayim. It's a three-day celebration over there. Okay.
What do they call Sunday?
They call it Gesher. Gesher means a bridge. In other words, you're making a bridge three different. I heard the same expression incidentally in France, except there it was in connection with Catholic holiday. In the summertime, there's a Catholic holiday called Assumption Day. I'm sure none of you ever heard of it because I don't know how up on the Catholic calendar you are. But in those days, when I studied in France, it was under the auspices of a Catholic college in St. Paul, Minnesota. They were the ones who had the concession from the government to run it, okay? So who was the head of it? It was Sister Marie Philip, okay? So here we are someplace in France at that particular time. It was Friday. Good Catholics, naturally, in those days, what was Friday? Friday, they were not allowed to eat meat, right. They could only eat fish, but they could not eat meat, okay? So she came with an announcement that the bishop gave special permission that they were permitted to eat meat on this day in honor of the fact that Assumption Day was going to be the following day. And therefore, it's a three-day holiday, the Friday that they could eat meat, the Shabbos, which was Assumption Day, and Sunday, which of course is that. And they called it Faire le Pont, which means literally to make a bridge. So it's interesting that in Yerushalayim they use the same expression about Gesher, as what I heard in France from the Catholics. Okay, just a little aside.
Well, it would be interesting as to whether the origins come, you know, the rationale for it did not originate.
Oh, the rationale, why in Yerushalayim? First of all,
whether the Catholic one did.
Oh, the Catholic one? No, because... Right, because the following day, you see, was a Catholic holiday, so they decided, all right, we'll celebrate it already beginning Friday. The bishop gave permission, that's all that you need.
Wasn't the word Pentecost
also used to the Pentecost is a Greek word which refers to 50. So, the Goyim called Pentecost Sunday, okay, the Sunday which is the 50th day after Easter, okay? And naturally, they took it from us, from Shavuos, because they say that was the day that the Holy Spirit came. The Holy Spirit, you know, by the Eden, we were celebrating Zimad Matan Teresenu, we were celebrating giving the Torah. So the Catholics borrowed the idea from us. They took a lot of other ideas from us. Okay. So that's the answer.
But they count the Omer, too.
They don't count the Omer, but they count the days, right. Yeah. Yeah, all right. But you can see, I mean, there is a Catholic holiday of Pentecost Sunday. Yeah. Yes? Yes. If it was so, that's what they would be doing. Exactly. That's what they do in Yerushalayim. If the 15th of Adar is on Shabbos, so then they read it. Then they read it not Thursday. They read it Thursday night and Friday, right?
What about the day after the 14th Shabbos?
But it doesn't happen anymore. It doesn't happen anymore. You know, our calendar is constructed so it will not happen, right? There are other things too that we do in order to prevent certain things from happening. The Gemara already mentioned in Rosh Hashanah. I don't know if you remember. And it's mentioned in several other places that, for example, Rosh Hashanah will never start on Sunday. Never start on Sunday, okay? Nor will it start on Wednesday, nor will it start on Friday, okay? Two of the reasons are because the fact that Yom Kippur would be either Erev Shabbos or would be Motzoi Shabbos. We don't want to have Shabbos followed immediately by Yom Kippur. So, or preceded by Yom Kippur. How are you going to prepare for Shabbos, a meal? You understand? So, that accounts for two of them. The other one is because we want to make sure that Hoshana Rabbah will not occur on Shabbos. Why not? Because on the Hoshana Rabbah, you know, we go around not just with our kofes, with the lulav and the yesrig, and naturally on Shabbos we don't. We want to do it, and also we clop. You can't go clopping Hoshanas, you know, on Shabbos. It's pastish, okay? So therefore, as I said, I mean, the time, because of the time in the Beis HaMikdash, what they did on the Hoshana Rabbah, besides going around seven times the Mizbeach, but they also would take great big branches of willows and stick them in the ground and it would cover the Mizbeach itself, and this was part of the celebration, you know, because the willows also represent the fact, you know, willows grow on water, and naturally what are we praying for during Sukkot and Shemini Atzeres? We want water during the rainy season there in Israel, and Lord knows they could use it. They could have used a lot more this year too than what they had. All right, getting back now over here. Ooh, that's a long page. Here we are, okay. All right, it says right now that he discovered, okay, that, again, the top of the new page. We said that Rav Ashi found that there was a difficulty because there are two different statements made by Rabbi Yehuda, and they seem to be contradictory, okay? So the question is, how do we resolve it? So his solution was Lokim Lord of Araisok Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda. He tried to say that the statement, one statement made by Rabbi Yehuda, is really a statement which was in accordance with the view of Rabbi Yosef bar Yehuda. So, what are they questioning right now? He says, "Mi Omar Rabbi Yehuda, did Rabbi Yehuda really say, Bazman Hazeh, that today, Ho'il Mistakten Bo in Koronos El Mizmano, that inasmuch as people are dependent upon knowing when is Purim in order to know when is Pesach, so therefore we can only read the Megillah at its proper time, namely on the 14th, right? Viraminu. But we have another statement which says, Omer Rabbi Yehuda, that Rabbi Yehuda said, what? A Mosai? When? Makom Shenichnasin Bashin Vachamishi. If there is a place where the villagers can come to either on Tuesday, on Monday, excuse me, or on Thursday, right? Aval Makom Shenichnasin Bashin Vachamishi. But if we're in an area where people do not come into the town, did not gather on either Monday or Thursday, then Ein Koronos El Mizmano, then they read it only in its proper time. So, if that's the case, and I'll take the next sentence too, Mokam Shenichnosim Bashin Vachamishi, but in a place where they do get together on Monday and Thursday, Miokaminin, so nevertheless they should read it, right? And what did we say before? Which means that they could read it when? On the 11th or the 12th or the 13th, right? And this is in contradiction with another statement made in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, who says that Bazman Hazeh, that today we read it only Bizmana, right, at the proper time. So how do you reconcile these two statements, okay? So, so he says, Mokim lo liberaisok Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. So that therefore he explains the baraisa in accordance with the opinion of Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, right? Omishum de kashele de Rabbi Yehuda de Rabbi Yehuda. And inasmuch we have this difficulty of one statement contradicting another one, so Mokim lo liberaisok Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. So, Rav Ashi, who was quoted at the bottom of the previous side, says, Shemiale, the Ika, the Tani Lake of Rabbi Yehuda. He had heard that there are those who say that Rabbi Yehuda is the one who made the statement. The Ika, but there are those, the Tani Lake of Rabbi Yehuda, who said that the statement actually is not the view of Rabbi Yehuda, but the view of Rabbi Yosi Bar Yehuda. And in as much as he sees that, you know, if you say that Rabbi Yehuda, the state, is the author of two contradictory statements, right? So he says, the one who says that one statement, that both statements are by Rabbi Yehuda, so he says, Lav Davka, it's not correct. You know, Lav Davka means not exactly so, okay? It's not so. But the one who has the tradition that is like Rabbi Yosef Bar Yehuda, that's Davka. That must be it. All right. So I say, we don't have to get too excited about this because we see that no matter what, Bazman Hazeh, today, since we don't have people coming in from villages on Sheni V'Chamishi, so it's all going to be the same thing. We're going to read the Megillah either on the 14th, or we're going to read it on the 15th. Okay. So now the question is, where do we have a reference that we should read the Megillah on the 15th? This is what they ask. Okay. Korim Mechamishos. So this is the statement. Yeah. Yes. The statement the Mishnah said, Krakim Hamukofim Chavim Moshe Yoshua bin Nun Korim Mechamishos. That those big cities, which are surrounded by a wall, from the days of Joshua bin Nun, they read on the 15th. This is what the Mishnah said at the beginning of. Okay. So now they want to know, where do we have a reference to something like this in the Megillah itself? So Omar Rava, so Rava said, what do you mean? It says, Omar Krah, the Pasuk says in the Megillah, Al Kain, HaYehudim HaProzim, HaYoshim HaProzos. Therefore, the Jews who dwell in Prozim, Prozim means in an area which is not surrounded by a wall, literally an open area. Okay. So those, so that they celebrate what? They celebrate the 14th, right? So, mid the Prozim, inasmuch as the Prozim, in other words, the Jews, who live in not a city surrounded by a wall, celebrate a Barba Osar, right? They celebrate on the 14th, so that therefore, what? Mukofim, those that dwell in a place which is surrounded by a wall, Bachamishosa, they should read it on the 15th. So far, so good. The Yemor, Prozim Barba Osar, so now they're going to start to argue about this, okay? All right, everybody is agreeing that what? That Prozim, people who live in unsurrounded by a wall cities, okay? Cities open, without open. A wall, right? And open cities, if you wish, okay? They read it Barba Osar, right? They read it on the 14th. Mukofin, Klal Lo, right?
Hello.
So, which means Mukofin, Klal Lo. Are we to assume maybe it means that those who live in cities which are surrounded by a wall do not even read it on the 14th or the 15th, right? Mm-hmm. So the Gemara says, in other words, only it says only Alkena Yehudim Prozim Yoshimar Prizos. I'll have to tell you. You see, you have to think back to what is the wording in the Megillah. Megillah says, Alkena Yehudim Prozim. Therefore, the Jews who live in open cities, right? Yoshimar Prizos, who live in such places, Korin. They read on the 14th day. But it doesn't say specifically that they read on the 15th day. This is the reason why here they question, first of all, maybe it means that people who live in walled cities do not read the Megillah at all. This is the first argument. Of course it's going to be knocked down, but still, you know, when they get together, they want to argue a point to see every possibility and decide.
Well, does Megillah mention when the people in walled cities are supposed to read it?
Yeah. Not in walled cities.
In walled cities.
No. You see, what the Megillah says, if you remember, says, right, according to the days when the Jews rested, right, so they celebrate. Okay, but maybe what is the celebration? Maybe the celebration is that, you know, they have a feast, they give charity and so on, but not necessarily the reading of the Megillah. You understand? So naturally, they want to consider all the possibilities so that they can eliminate them. So we get back to our original conclusion. Yes.
No,
that wasn't it at all. The answer is that just as Shushan was a walled city, and they rested not on the 14th, but they rested on the 15th, and that's when they celebrated Purim, so that therefore walled cities should do the same. Okay? That's the idea. All right. But as I said, they're discussing various possibilities and eliminating them. Okay? All right. Yes. Not today. And that's what, first of all, the Mishnah itself specified what? It said, walled from the days of Yehoshua ben Nun. We'll see a little later that not everybody's in agreement. There's a contrary opinion, okay? But today, you would have to say that it's only in a city which has a tradition, a verifiable tradition, okay? That it was surrounded by a wall in the days of Joshua, that they do it. No other place. I mean, we can't say that, for example, when I was in Paris, okay? So you can see the remnants of an old wall that first surrounded the original part of Paris, okay? And of course, the city, you know, expanded in every direction from that area, okay? But they had certain gates through which people used to go in those days, Porte de l'Ile, the Lilac Gate, and the port this, the port that, and so on and so forth, okay? So they had originally a wall. But was this wall put up in the days of Yehoshua ben Nun? Of course not. Didn't exist in those days. So the fact that it has a wall you know, that doesn't mean anything, okay? And you can find other places, too. I'm sure that Moscow had an area which had a wall around it. I'm sure that places like Kiev, Kharkov, you know, old cities, but they don't go back to the days which have been done.
What about Egypt?
Yeah.
Can Jews in Jericho sleep
in Jericho? Jericho is not a walled city. The walls were knocked down.
In
the days of Joshua, they were knocked down, remember?
What about Yerushalayim?
Yerushalayim is considered a walled city from the days of Joshua ben Nun. This is why I say in Yerushalayim, if the, you know, if the 15th of Adar happens to be on Shabbos, so this is why they have all kinds of celebrations on the 14th, the 15th, and the 16th of Adar. Yeah.
Assuming that the city had a wall at the time that Joshua conquered Israel, does the city this time today have to have a wall or remnant of a wall?
It should.
It should.
It should. Yeah. Of course, in Yerushalayim we have a wall. We have two walls. We have a kotel. And then we have the walls that were built by Sultan Suleiman, right? Right, yeah. Okay. Yes, well, Tachtor. Right, okay, right. So the first argument that they gave then is that inasmuch as the Prozim are mentioned, so naturally we would assume that Bukovin, that people in walled cities would be on the 15th, right? But maybe they say, maybe on the 14th Taka they read, but Mekoffin Klal Klal Lo, they don't. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Well, obviously, then who? Aren't they Jews? Right? Aren't they therefore required to read the Megillah too? The Ode. And besides this, what does it say in the Megillah? It says over there, Mehodu Yad Kush Ksir, right? It's written that the Ahasuerus's empire is Mehodu Yad Kush, right? From India to Ethiopia, and not only that, but the decrees went out throughout the empire that the Jews should be massacred on the 13th of Adar. So that therefore, in other areas still, presumably there are walled cities, and so why shouldn't they read the Megillah too, right? Why should they be deprived, according to your argument, that only the Prozim have to read on the 14th and the others are free from doing so? They don't like that argument, obviously. Okay? Okay. V'yemot. All right, let's give another argument. Prozim Be'arbezor, right? The people who are in open cities read on the 14th, right? Mukafim Be'arbezor V'chamisor. Why can't the people who live in walled cities read the Megillah both on the 14th and also on the 15th? Let them read it 2 days in a row. Kedechsiv, because the pasuk says in the Megillah, Leo Sosim, that Jews should observe Es Yom Arbo Asor LaChodesh Hador, right, the 14th of the month of Adar, Es Yom HaChamisho Asor Bo, right, and also the 15th of it, the Chol Shana V'Shana, right, in every single year. So the Gemara counters with follows. It says, "I have ksav, if it had been written, Es Yom Arbo Asor V'Chamisho Asor, if it said, for example, the 14th and the 15th, Kikramrit, okay, then you have a point. Good, so they could read it both the 14th and the 15th. However, it says, Hashtar, look, it says, now, Dichsiv, the text says, Es Yom Arbo Asor, the Es Yom Chamisho Asor. Why do they have to have the S? Could have simply said the. So the answer is that my eye strayed. Sorry, right. Then we have to say also S, the word S comes along, or for sick, right? And it makes a break between Hani Barbo Osor the Hani Bachamisho Osor, right? Between those who read the Megillah in the 14th of Adar and those who read it on the 15th of Adar. Okay? Now, another argument. With this, we'll close the class tonight. The Amor. Let us give another possibility, okay? Prozim Be'arbeisor. that those who live in open cities, right, read it on the 14th, Mukafin, those who live in walled cities, Ibo, if they feel like it, they read it Barbe, so they read it on the 14th. Ibo, and if they feel like it, Bachamisos, they read it on the 15th. Omakor, but the Pasuk says what? Bismanehem, in their times. And Zmano Shalzeh, Lod Zmano Shalzeh. Right? The time of one group, namely the people who live in the unwalled cities, is not the same as the time for the reading of the Megillah of those who live in walled cities. Okay. I'll put a stop. thank you. My voice is still not any better. I'm afraid it may be due to the pollen or whatever it may be, so I apologize. Yeah.
Terrible.
But at any rate, tonight is the 9th of May in the year 2001. We are currently Maseches Megillah, Daf Beis, Omid Beis, and we're starting right now with the first long line on the page. Okay, so the last words over there were that Osa Es Ufasig, right? The word Es came along in order to make a distinction between what? Hani Be'arbo Osor, those who live, as we said, in the open cities, read it on the 14th. The Hani Be'chamish Osor, and those who live in cities with walls around them, read it on the 15th of Adar. All right. And the Gemara continued, you know, discussing this to knock down one argument after another. It says for Amor, and let us say that Prozim Barbesar, okay, those who live in open cities would read it on the 14th, right? But Lukofin, those who live in walled cities, Ibo Barbesar, if they feel like it, they would read it on the 14th, right? Ibo Bachmesar, and if they feel like it, they read it on the 15th, right? So in other words, they should have a choice as to which day they want to use. So Omakrot, so this is why the Pasuk says Bismanehem, right? That you have to read it in their proper times. In other words, Manu Shalzeh, Loz Manu Shalzeh. The times of one group, in other words, those who live in cities which were not walled, right? In the days, according to the Mishnah of Joshua, right? So the time for where they read the Megillah is not the same as the time for those who live in walled cities. Okay. So, now the Gemara continues. Actually, we did that last time, but now we start with a new material. Another argument, along the same lines. The Yom or Bitzleisa. All right, let's say that, you know, people who live in walled cities are permitted to read the Megillah on the 13th of Adar. So the answer is Kishushan. No, it has to be like what happened in Shushan. And in Shushan, what happened? In Shushan, they rested on the 15th, and that was the day, you know, that they celebrated, right? So, the Gemara now continues and says, Ashkechon, okay, so we see from other...